Dear loving God, creator of unfailing light, give that same light to those who call to you. May our lips praise you, our lives proclaim your goodness, our work give you honor, and our voices celebrate you forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have just heard the readings of the triumphant entry of Jerusalem by Jesus, and also the Passion story. It is a story that is filled with grandeur and excitement, and as thousands of pilgrims stream to the capital for the festivities. I think sometimes we can take for granted this Passion story as we've heard it year after year. But every year when I hear it in its entirety, it still moves me. Imagine, if you are able, the smells and of spices and animals and the food from the vendors, and the sounds of so many people jostling for a perfect view. For Jesus and his disciples, the goal of the journey is reached. Jesus is on the fateful final leg of his fateful journey. He has prepared his disciples for his departure by instructing them about a walk of faith. The Mount of Olives is a bow shot away from the city, and at its foot lies the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus often prayed, and where in six days he will be arrested as an enemy of the state. From this place, before he gets to Jerusalem, Jesus tells his two disciples to fetch the donkey or the colt, which apparently has been prearranged. The colt or the donkey is a symbol of peace, unlike the horses of war ridden by the conquering Romans. Drawing back on the reins, through his tears he says, "Would that even today you know the things that were made for peace." Even today, he says, because there were so few days left. Then the terror of his vision as he looks at the city that is all cities and sees not one stone left standing on another. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you and your children within. Because we don't know who it is who comes to visit us. And then, with his eyes still wet, the city is there. And he is surrounded by people shouting Hosanna, cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in his path. Jesus appears completely concentrated on something else. He doesn't look at the excited crowd. He doesn't seem to wave. Today, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, we are witnesses to a collision course between the Prince of Peace and the agents of war. A collision of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdoms of so many emperors and would-be Caesars. Marcus Borg, in his book, The Last Week, writes, "Two processions entered Jerusalem on a spring day in the year 30. It was the beginning of the week of the Passover, the most sacred week of the Jewish year, and it is the most sacred week of the Christian year. One was a peasant procession, the other an imperial procession. From the east, Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, followed, cheered by his followers. Jesus was from the peasant village of Nazareth. His message was about the kingdom of God, and his followers came from the present class. On the opposite side of the city, from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, entered Jerusalem at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. It was the standard practice of the Roman governors of Judea to be in Jerusalem for major Jewish festivals. They did not do it out of some empathic reverence for the religious devotions of their Jewish subjects, but to be in the city in case there was trouble. And there often was, especially at Passover, a festival that celebrated the Jewish people's liberation from an earlier empire. So the imperial procession arrival in the city, a vivid display of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold. Sounds. The marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums, the swirling of dust, the eyes of the silent onlookers, some curious, some awed, some resentful. We are in that crowd, spreading our coats on the road and with others spreading leafy branches cut from the fields. In Mark's version, we are one of thousands of noisy pilgrims shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Luke writes, "As he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice." The irony is that in a few days after his loud endorsement, some of those same people, not all of them, will bow to political pressure and desert him. And they will stand in a courtyard yelling for his death. Maybe 5 days from now, some of us will stand on the sidelines and let Jesus crawl past us, stumbling under the weight of the cross, and say nothing. I think this day should remind us to guard against superficial praise for Christ, as it forces us to remember all aspects of Holy Week. We recognize how readily we will join in the celebration, yet run from unpleasant events, even when Christ calls us to stand brave and firm in our faith. We are in the crowd that first celebrates Christ coming to the city and then joins in the crawl for his death. And we recognize our own tendency to faithlessness, to turning away. For each of us knows at a deep level the cost of discipleship. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is a journey of death, a death to self. It means giving up the illusion that somehow we are in control. And it is not a life for sprinters. It is a long-distance runner. It's for marathoners. Making the journey will take up most of our life and then some. And we won't always get it right. We will mess up. We will fall. We will stumble. And we will deny Christ. And yet, Zechariah writes, we are prisoners of hope. And God wants to give us double blessing for each of our troubles. That though we are, Paul writes, pressed on every side by troubles, we are not crushed. We are hunted down, but never abandoned. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And the wonder of this day is that Jesus took the journey into Jerusalem for you and me. He endured the cheering crowds, knowing that they would turn against him. But he still made the journey, riding on the humblest of beasts, a donkey, for our freedom, for our lives. And he did this for us. He made the journey from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter Sunday so that he could journey into the hearts of all who believe in him and even those who deny him. Because he wants his kingdom to be first and foremost. He desires that we freely, willingly, and joyfully declare, "Here I am, Lord, take me. You are all I will ever need." He wants us to declare daily that the only choice and desire is to choose that which better leads to God deepening his hold and life in us. Scripture is clear. Our lives no longer belong to us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. A disciple's life is not about you and me. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about the one who died for us. It is about what Jesus did for our lives and through our lives. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And that's what it means to be a disciple. We were purchased, redeemed by the cross. by the life of the Son of Man given so that our old Adam nature is put to death and a new life in Christ is born. Today we remember the journey that Jesus has taken. We remember the road that Jesus has traveled, and we rejoice that it was love for us that led him to do it. And how will we respond to such great a love? Can we walk that road of love? Today could be the first day of the rest of your life. Say no to self and yes to Christ. Let this Easter season change us forever. Let us pray. We worship you, Lord. You did not enter your holy city, Jerusalem, on the back of a war horse, but humbly and on a donkey. You knew that murderers surrounded you, yet you came in peace, and by your sacrifice you would utterly conquer death before the week had passed. You are blessed and worthy of our praise, and we say you are our King. And we long to live in the city where you sit on the throne. Establish your kingdom so that your people can live in peace. Jesus, we bow before you, and we sing your praises until your kingdom come and is established forever. Amen.